this last minute injury report. So let me update you on injuries from the game yesterday. Kenyon Barner has got a hamstring strain. He'll actually miss this game because just with the Thursday night and not being able to get back in time. So he'll miss this game. Everybody else here on this next list will be good. Alan Barber, Brent Celek, Jordan Matthews, Isaac, who sustained a high ankle in the game, is actually okay. Darren Sproles is good. Everything he had to go through, it was positive, so he'll be ready this week. And then we'll see where Big V is, but he should be ready to go.
Who's starting at right tackle?
Going into this game, considering the nature of the injuries that we've had and everything, and with Lane being back today, Lane will go in as a starter.
Have you been able to see him or talk to him? Like, how's?
I haven't seen him yet today. I know he's been here in the building, and he's been with Coach Statlin and Eugene, and of course, I've been game planning and been in my office all morning, so I haven't had a chance to see him yet.
Which is the injury risk higher for a guy who hasn't played in that long?
You know, it's possible. Just have to kind of see when I put my eyes on Lane, just to see where he's at physically and what he's been doing over the last 10 weeks. But he's such a tremendous athlete that I wouldn't expect anything too traumatic to happen in the next couple of weeks. But obviously, it is possible.
Is Alan back at left guard now?
Something we're going to evaluate. I got to see where he's at health-wise, see if he's, 100%. Obviously, these last 2 weeks, we're kind of getting our offensive line back to full strength. So that's something that we'll evaluate in these next couple of days.
Doug, I know you've been a part of a lot of Thursday night games as a player and as a coach. What's the best approach as far as getting these guys off their feet as much as possible but still preparing the way you need to?
Yeah, today being a Monday and playing on Thursday, we want the guys in the building to begin the initial installation process for the Giants. There is a fine line between what you can do on the field and making sure they're fresh and ready to go. So you spend a lot of time in meetings. You spend a little amount of time as possible on the field, but it's more walk-through situations, to keep these guys as fresh as possible because, again, they're coming off a game, less than 24 hours. So we just got to make sure, and I got to make sure that we do the right thing by these players.
What were some of the issues with trying to throw the ball downfield early in the game there? Was it that guys weren't getting open? Was it the defense, or was Carson missing?
Some of it was the weather. The wind, obviously when the wind picked up and the weather, was able to move that ball a little bit. Some of it was a little bit of the protection, a couple of issues early in the game. You saw Carson moving around, guys were, they, Baltimore had a nice little pick stunt with their front and caught us a couple of times and made Carson move. But once we were able to kind of get those kind of settled down on the sideline, then you started seeing some of the deeper, it was intermediate throws, to Ertz and a couple of shots there to really get the kind of the ball moving. But a lot of it, to be honest with you, for half the game at least, it was a lot of weather involved.
Now that you've had a chance to go back and watch it, do you have any thought in terms of the play call on the two-point conversion to maybe some clarity as to why it was Byron Marshall and not, Ryan Matthews on the field at that point?
Listen, yeah, I mean – There was zero, in my mind, there was zero opportunity to run because what we anticipated is what we got defensively. They gapped out. They zero blitzed us. There was not going to be a lane. It was going to be a one-yard loss if we tried to run the football at that time. And in those situations, it's, as I mentioned after the game, as a defensive coordinator, I mean, you go – You storm the castle, and that's what they did. And then you try to create the matchup one on one, which we had a good one on our slot receiver Jordan Matthews, and just unfortunate the one extra guy got his hand on the ball and tipped it. So it wasn't going to be a didn't matter who was in the backfield at the time. You know, the fact of the matter was we weren't going to run the ball in that situation.
But with him not out there, doesn't that kind of give it away a little bit more than if you have a rookie out there playing his first game?
No.
When you say that,
from a football coach's standpoint, and maybe from layman's terms, it might appear that way. But when you're in the heat of the battle like that, they're going to do what they do. We're going to do what we do. I know what we did the first two-point conversion. It was in the first half of the game when really I decided to go for two then because of the weather. And I didn't want to take points off the board necessarily with a potential missed extra point, you know, with the way we were kicking into the wind at that time. So that's a different situation, different scenario. This was a true got-to-have-it situation. And you know, we had our best play at that time against that defense.
So you don't think the Ravens would have any more notion that you're going to throw the ball with a rookie playing his first game at running back?
No, they knew we were throwing the ball.
Doug, when you mentioned that Barber, you're not sure about him at left guard. Does seeing more Seumalo factor into that decision?
At guard?
Yeah.
You know, it does a little bit. Again, this week it's going to be tough. He does have the ankle sprain, and you know, it's just going to be a day-to-day with him to see where he's at. But, you know, Isaac came out of this game, I mean, playing – he played well for his first right tackle start. He played extremely well, and you know, we got a great player in Isaac and a versatile player, you know, that can play any of those positions now along the line. So gives us a little more depth now these last couple of weeks, but he'll definitely factor in.
Along those lines, you had mentioned earlier that once the team was officially eliminated from playoff contention, you'd think about playing some more young guys and kind of seeing what you have. Is that the plan now? Will you try to see what you have in some younger guys in the last few games?
We're playing all our young guys now. You know, I mean, who are you referencing?
You know, if you look at defense, C.J. Smith, or on offense, you haven't seen a lot of Bryce Trey.
Yeah, C.J.'s been active every week and played a lot of teams. Jalen Mills has been getting a lot of reps. You know, guys like Jalen Watkins, you know, even though he's not a rookie, he's been playing quite a bit. You know, on offense, I guess, you know, Bryce Traeg, Paul Turner, you know, guys that have played this season. You know, the only one that's unfortunate is Wendell not getting, you know, some carries in the next two games. But for the most part, most of our young guys have played extensively throughout the season. But I would say that, you know, we still want to win these next two games, you know, and so that's our approach. And, you know, we're going to play the best 11, you know, these next 2 weeks.
What's the report on Lane? What have you heard? Where is he at, weight-wise, conditioning-wise?
Well, again, I haven't seen him, so I don't know, you know.
But you're stuck. So you must know something.
Well, yeah, I know something that Isaac's hurt and Big V's coming off a knee injury and Alan Barber's injured. So what else do I have left?
Sorry,
you know what I mean? So I'm just going, Lane, you're the guy. I don't care if you're, you know, X weight. I mean, you got to play. And listen, Lane, I'm sure, you know, he's an athlete. And I'm sure he worked out and kept himself in shape and stayed, you know, stayed relatively around. You know, he was about 318, 319 when he left us. So, you know, expect to see him about that weight, I guess, later today. And you know, with the injury situation, you got to go.
The percentages yesterday too about the overtime. How much have you come to look at or rely on, you know, statistical analysis?
You know, it's become something as the season's gone on. Obviously, we've looked at it, and I look at it more and more. You know, it's something that's something you take into consideration. Obviously, at early in the season, you know, as I've mentioned before, on fourth downs and going for, you know, 2-point conversions and all that, we understand, you know. All the situations that are, you know, where you're at on the field, defense, punt versus a field goal, all those things go into play. And we take into consideration, too, the, you know, you're on the road, you're the underdog, you know, what are the classic scenarios? And so, you know, I rely on those guys to, you know, give me the right information. And you know, it's like calling timeouts or challenge flags. We're getting all the information. It's part of our process that we talk about each week. And You know, these guys are giving great information during the game, and that's why that comment was made, you know, post game.
Along those lines, you've attempted the most fourth downs in the game of the league this season, the third most 2-point conversions. Is that important for you as a coach to have that aggressive nature?
I think so. You want to stay aggressive. You want to trust your players, and that's what I've done, and I feel like I've done, you know, this season, and it was no different yesterday. It was evident yesterday. It just comes down to relying a lot of times on the information, the data that's given, and your chances for success, and, you know, a lot of factors go into that. But you don't want to necessarily be in that many fourth downs, you know. And if you're going for two a lot, it's either because you're behind and you need the 2 points, or sometimes, you know, like in Pittsburgh's case, sometimes they go for it early in the game, and they want to get that 8-0 score as opposed to a 7-0 score. So those are all things to consider.
So, Mark, who's giving that information? Is it someone in your ear? Is it on a sheet during the game?
It's not necessarily coming from any one person. It's things that we talk about in our analytical team. You know, they study all the numbers, and they crunch all the numbers throughout the league and the percentages over the course of so many years. And usually you can go back 5 years and get all the statistical data and what is kind of, you know, in your favor, you know, as an offense. And then it's broken down by field position and the actual down and distance and where you are. So those are all things that we rehearse and practice and talk about during the week.
Doug Carton is, in the previous five games when he's had an opportunity to drive the victory, you guys have come up short. This one, although it didn't get you a victory, he did potentially score the game-tying touchdown had you not gone for two. What does it mean for him to at least get one of those out of the way during his rookie season as opposed to, let's say, you know, wasn't able to at least lead you guys to
Yeah, I mean, it would these last couple of weeks have been great to have finished with a win, you know, in these last 2 weeks. And I just think it shows the resiliency of him and the team, you know, overall. How well the defense played at the end of that game yesterday with Jordan Hicks' turnover and then stopping them with the punt and, you know, offensively taking the ball and going down and potentially, you know, winning the game, getting us to within one. I think as a quarterback and a young quarterback, those are valuable experiences that you'll cherish and you'll remember and you'll lean on the rest of your career. And for the guys to see him do that just shows the leadership capability that he has to lead the football team and put us in those situations.
What do you like about what he did during those last two drives?
Just the way he was poised in the pocket, he commanded, you know, he was communicating in a loud stadium, loud environment, weather, everything that could affect you as an offense was in that, you know, besides having, you know, precipitation, there was everything was kind of against the offense because we were going into that wind. And for him to be able to communicate and stand in there and deliver the football and do the things that we put him through, and then eventually scramble take on a really good safety, Eric Weddle, and make him miss and score the touchdown, I think is just shows his grit and toughness and willingness to, sacrifice himself for the team.
You guys have one play of 30 yards or more in the last six games, and that was Paul Turner's 41-yard catch when you were down 26-0 in Cincinnati. What's preventing you guys from getting those big plays on offense?
Well, the week before against Washington, we took a shot to Nelson. We got the pass interference. It was a big, you're not going to get the gain, but that was an opportunity there. We've had some shots that, for whatever reason, whether it be protection or Carson going somewhere else with the football, all those things kind of factor in. You know, the one thing that, by design sometimes, and not necessarily down the field, but just designing shots for Carson. Play action pass has been and will always probably be one of Carson's strengths. And for us as a staff to be able to design those 15 to 20 yard completions, you know, catch and run and, you know, make a guy miss and go 30 plus is very beneficial. It's hard to complete a lot of those throws down the field because it takes a little more time. A lot of times, you know, protection, you either have to go six or seven man to, you know, throw the ball down the field. I don't mind throwing a slant and letting the guy run for 25 yards. I mean, that's all part of it too. So it's a little bit of everything, but something that we'll address in the off season when we get a chance to evaluate our system and see how we can better improve that area.
What's your take on the Rodney McLeod play, Doug, on the rushing touchdown?
I went back and looked at it this morning and you know, I think as a safety, you know, he's always kind of prided himself in just, you know, sticking his nose in there. I just think there was a situation where, you know, it was kind of a one-on-one situation. And I get it from a player standpoint too, that, you know, you're trying to maintain inside leverage. You don't want to get beat inside. I haven't talked to Rodney, so I don't know if there was an awareness, you know, where you are in the field type thing. But at the same time, I think he would, you know, he'd probably want that play over again to do. He's been a great part of our defense. He's been a steady, consistent player for us all season long. And by no means is one play going to define him or the way he's played for us this season. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.